The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
My name is George Brockler, right here on The George Show, 710 KNUS. Now, listen, I had fully intended, and I still intend, to get kicked off with this discussion of the vice president and equity and all that stuff. But I'll be honest with you, what I have said before still holds true today, and that is we are a different kind of talk show, and that we are the old school talk show where we actually talk to you. You talk to us. We have conversations. You just don't get that really anywhere else in the solicited volume that we have here. You can go out there on the dial, and in short of maybe the occasional sports talk show that takes a call a month or something like that, the ability to engage in a real conversation about the issues of the day is very, very limited. So I want to honor those people who use this public forum, this town square, if you will. And when our topic is Grievance Monday, I love to hear what people are upset about for purposes of the venting, the catharsis, the ability to start your first week of October, this first week of that fourth quarter of 2022 anew. And sometimes the best way to do that is to just vent. So we did that in the earlier segment, got kicked off with Elaine. And since we continue to get calls, and they're at 303-696-1971, you can feel free to pick up the phone and dial that in. We'll just keep taking your calls. We're going to get started off this hour with Chris. Chris, did you want to vent about something?
You know, George, there's so many things to vent nowadays, all this COVID stuff and everything else. I don't even know where to start. But the one grievance I have, that's something that's really irritating, and it's basically stupid people. This weekend, my wife and I decided that we were going to sell one of our vehicles.
Okay.
So we put it on Craigslist, described it. It's a different type of vehicle. It's basically, it's a trail rig. It's a Jeep that's built out to where it goes off-road, and we've gone to Moab and done stupid stuff and break things on it. And it's not a daily driver. Well, I've had about 10 replies looking on this.
Oh, great.
Eight of them are scammers.
What do you mean?
And there's a new scam. To where the guy, hi, I'm interested in your Jeep. I want to get this report. And they send a link on their thing for you to go onto this report to be able to pay $20 and get this report to give to them. Well, these guys basically, they created a website. They steal your $20 and they got your credit card information and they go out. And if you actually search online for it, there's all kinds of videos. The government's put out these, you know, things. Hey, if you're selling something, somebody comes up and says, I want to buy it, but you got to pay me $20 to be able to look at it. How stupid are people that they don't see through that?
I think there are a ton of gullible people out there. There's no doubt about it. But I think to some extent we convince ourselves that we're not going to be the victims of some nefarious scam. Like we're not, and the problem that it creates is not only does it fuel that, you know, the wolves out there hunting the sheep, but it also calls into question normal, honest, credible retailers and business people and folks who really do want to buy your car. Instantly, you become super skeptical of everyone. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know why I should trust you. There's a problem with you. You're trying to hose me, that kind of thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. And I reply back. I'm like, you know, I hope you can sleep at night and I hope that you're doing what's right. And that, you know, that you have some type of conscience because you're pulling this kind of scam, trying to rip people off. It's just wrong.
And what do they say about that in response?
There's no more replies after that.
No. What? Unbelievable.
Eight, George, in the last weekend. And two people actually legitimately interested into the rig. Eight of them were scammers. It's incredible. So, and now you have to pay $5 to even list a car on Facebook where it used to be free.
I was going to say, with the number of used cars that are being sold out there, the number of used cars that even if they were to hit up, you know, let's say 1,000 people and only 10% of them did it. That's 100 people at $20 a pop. That's $2,000 they've made for just standing up a website. That's pretty good business.
Well, yeah, and then they also add their credit card information so they can go and use it until you figure out what's going on as well. So
$2,000. And then you got to shut down the credit card. Oh, Chris, thank you so much. I'm sorry, but thank you for making us smarter about this, because there's going to be someone out there right now listening at 710 who's like, oh, my God, I just got dinged for one of those two. I wonder, they're going to thank you for this call. Thanks, man.
Take care, George.
Thanks, Chris. Hey, that was Chris giving us his grievance on this Grievance Monday. Now, we've wrapped up that segment for now. Now, listen, there's still texts coming in. There's one, yes, the 14-year-old who was beaten, stabbed, and shot to death. I've got some thoughts on that as well as some of that case, but I didn't want to start with that. I really did think that I wanted to get into something that took place with the Vice President of the United States. You know that Hurricane Ian crushed Florida and then dipped offshore and then crushed South Carolina. And it's become this problem in terms of devastation, devastation that we've been told that will take months, if not years, to correct. And that's going to take a great deal of help, probably from the federal government. And in large part, that's because the federal government takes a lot of our money in the form of tax money. If you are a hardworking, employed person, you're paying a ton of taxes. Heck, if you have investments, you're probably paying taxes as well to the federal government. So when it comes to distributing those funds out to the people who are devastated by nature, right, by Hurricane Ian, you might think that those monies will be distributed based on the amount of loss or the amount of devastation caused. It sounds different when it comes out of the mouth of our vice president. Take a listen.
It is our lowest income communities and our communities of color that are most impacted by these extreme conditions and impacted by issues that are not of their own making.
And so women.
Absolutely. And so we have to address this in a way that is about giving resources based on equity, understanding that we fight for equality, but we also need to fight for equity, understanding not everyone starts out at the same place. And if we want people to be in an equal place, sometimes we have to take into account those disparities and do that work.
Do that work is another one of those garbage throwaway sentences that the left uses to justify just about everything they do. And in fact, you'll hear that out of some of the candidates. I'm here for the work. There's more work, and it's not the normal use of the term work. It's like the work. Like the work is a progressive term. It's becoming a progressive term to suggest that we can do whatever we want to get to the end. But here's the real concern is that you hear the vice president talk about distributing federal funds, relief, based on equity. And she actually distinguishes in her answer equity from equality. And when I hear this, I got so many questions in my mind. And one that has been plaguing me now for the years that this term has become more and more ingrained in the lexicon of education, of the military. In fact, if you have a company of any size, you probably have a DEI. Of course, they're not going to spell D-I-E because that's die. But DEI, there's diversity, equity, and inclusion. And these are three terms that are so amorphous, so difficult to define, that they are used to justify almost anything you'd like that in the past we would describe as some sort of socialist wealth redistributing type thing. That's the way it feels to me. All right, so I went on a hunt for the term. Like, what does it mean, equity versus equality? And there are a ton of websites out there that define equity by using the term equity. That just doesn't make any sense. You don't use the word in the definition of the word. Maybe an example of how it's used. But so one of the websites that I found was one for my alma mater, the University of Colorado. And they talk about their core values and principles. This is all online stuff. Making excellence inclusive. Now, I'm going to read to you the definition of equity here. And really what I want to know is, what in the world does equity mean? And how is it going to be used? How is it being used right now? Like, we used to talk in terms of equality. I've seen that word in some of our founding documents. But I haven't seen the term equity, but lately it's showing up everywhere. So here's equity on the University of Colorado website. It is this is equity. A commitment to equity underlies all efforts to be inclusive. We must identify and eliminate the barriers that have prevented historically and presently marginalized and underserved people from fully accessing the opportunities and resources they need to succeed. Okay, I mean, that's a lot of big highfalutin words strung together in a way that makes it sound like we're so smart, don't question it. Yeah, but I get the principle of it. I understand. We want opportunity. That's it. We want folks to have, and we should do what we can to help them access opportunity. That is not what equity means. Here's the next sentence. We must, and by the way, this is when you start using those college words that makes you think you're hiding something here because you can't just plain speak. So here's what it is. We must increase our collective and individual awareness of how these barriers manifest in the experiences of our faculty, students, and staff. What? How about just straight up plain blue-collar English? Because that's what I need to understand it. Here's another sentence. Beyond awareness, we must take concrete steps towards dismantling barriers in our policies, teaching and hiring, and promotion practices, and act affirmatively to support all of our communities. What? Everyone in the CU Boulder community deserves a fair chance to be highly successful, to see their demonstrated ability with the right support. Not just their demonstrated ability, with the right support transformed into excellence. What? I'll be honest, if it's about having opportunity and equality of opportunity, let's have that conversation. But this feels like something much more amorphous, something much more different. So I went to look it up online, which was probably a mistake. But I went and found Merriam-Webster. And I looked up the definition of equity. And not a single one talks about that. One says, justice according to natural law or right. That's not what this sounds like. This doesn't sound like natural law or right. The money value of property or an interest, that's not it. The common stock of a court, nope, that's not it. A risk, interest, or ownership right, no, it's none of those things. A system of law originating in the English chancery and comprising, well, no, we know it can't be that because England's all a bunch of white people, so that's not equity. Trial or remedial justice under or by the rules and doctrines of equity, that doesn't help us. A body of legal doctrines and rules developed to enlarge, supplement, or override a narrow, rigid system of law. Maybe it's that. I don't know what the narrow, rigid system of law is, but my guess is that's not what we're talking about here. So I went out to, folks, you may know that my daughter Amanda is a second-year student at George Washington University, which is a great, not free university out there in the swamp. And they have on their online public health, I found equity versus equality, what's the difference? And it starts off by saying, while the terms equity and equality may sound similar, the implementation of one versus the other can lead to dramatically different outcomes for marginalized people. And this then becomes, I think, the most important paragraph here, and it's just a couple sentences. Equality means each individual or group of people is given the same resources or opportunities. Equity recognizes that each person has different circumstances and allocates the exact resources and opportunities needed to reach, this is it, an equal outcome. Doesn't that feel a whole lot like socialism? What was that catchy phrase from Animal Farm? Each according to their needs? That's what equity sounds like in this definition, and it's a definition, a version of it that is replayed over and over again. I look at McGill University, maybe the premier, one of the premier universities to our neighbors in the North Canada. Equity, unlike the notion of equality, is not about sameness of treatment. Equity denotes fairness and justice in process, and here's the key, in results. And when you throw in the results, when you throw in the outcome, the process part is not about being fair in process. It's making a process that will achieve that determined, that predetermined equal outcome. Is that what Kamala Harris, the Vice President of the United States, is talking about? Have we now just dressed up socialism in a new term called equity? Because equity is fairness and justice, those amorphous terms, those almost undefinable terms for equality of outcome. Folks, that's socialism. That's the kind of thing that you think of when you think of a socialist country. Like, because we all start off in different places, the goal is to get us to an equal place. Now, what's fascinating about this GWU, George Washington University, and I'll give you the place to go look for it. It's online public health, one word, .gwu.edu. If you look up equity versus equality, it's fascinating because they then have a pictorial display of what inequality, equality, equity, and justice look like. So in the first picture, inequality is described visually here as a tree. The tree leans to the left, which is a bit ironic. And there are two people, two little white people. They could be hobbits. I don't know. They're of the same size, same features. One is dressed in red on the left, the other in blue on the right. And a tree, an apple falls out of the tree to the person on the left, but not to the person on the right. That's called inequality. To the right, there is another picture, same tree, same two folks. And what they called equality was each one has a ladder of the same height, same material, elevating them to the point where the person on the left can reach up and grab an apple from the leftward leaning tree, but the person on the right, because the tree's leaning, they can't get it. And they're frustrated, and there's an exclamation point above their head. And that's called equality. That picture is equality, suggesting that they have an equal opportunity, but because the tree is to the left, the person on the right can't actually make anything of that. Now, if you go down to the left bottom quarter picture, the one right below inequality, now there's equity. And equity is a picture of the same tree, the same two people. The person on the left that has the tree leaning their direction has a ladder of some composition and height, but the person on the right and the tree leans from them, they get a taller ladder. And that taller ladder allows them also to pick apples from the left-leaning tree. And then there is justice. And justice, which is the picture to the right, are once again both people picking apples from the tree. Now they have the same size ladder, but the tree, using wood that has pushed, forced it to stand up straight, meaning that with those two ladders, both people are able to equally access the fruits of the tree. It's fascinating. It's brilliant, really, in the way that it does it. But at the end of the day, the two pictures, equity and justice, are about equal outcomes. It's not about an equal opportunity to access the tree. It's not about the ingenuity of either one of them to build a bigger ladder or a smarter way to get the apples out of the tree or a big stick to beat the tree and get the apples to fall. None of that. No. It is clearly something that someone, presumably government, has provided them. The ladder. And so government must provide the ladder, the means to get up there. And so it must create better ladders for people for whom the tree leans against or away from. And then we get to socialism. And so I want to circle back to the vice president's comments. Is this then just a vehicle for wealth redistribution and to send taxpayer money not based on loss, but on a perceived desire to want to even the playing field? So not that people are put back in the position that they were before Hurricane Ian came in, but put back in the position that they should be, based on this socialist ideal of equity, of the same outcome. What is going on here? And the phones, you can hear, you might be able to hear start ringing. Texts are starting to come in here a bunch. And you can hit us on the 710KNUS.com or 710KNUS app for the texting. But I want to have this conversation with you. What is going on here? Is equity the new socialism? Or is it just the old socialism dressed up with a new word? 303-696-1971. What is going on with this equity term? And shouldn't we banish this thing the way we banish the idea of socialism? It's coming back, by the way. Socialism, if you know, there's polling out there that has a greater percentage of our next generation who view socialism favorably. And this is part of the reason. We've told them that equity is a legitimate value, not equality. Equity. Because equality only means you have equality of opportunity. Equity means it doesn't matter. The system is so broken. It's so inherently racist or discriminatory or biased against some group, some quote unquote marginalized, historically marginalized group. We have to bend the system to put them in a place where their outcome is your outcome. That's socialism. What is going on with this equity? And where else have you seen this stuff? 303-696-1971. I'll read the text and get back to you here in a bit. And the phone calls that are coming in, Dwayne, everybody else, I'll get to you, I promise, when we come back. I got to cut away for a quick break. Before I do that, though, I want to tell you about somebody who's not in the equity game. They're in the justice game. And not justice as determined by some left-leaning governmental organization that determines who should get what, but justice based on that very classic sense of justice. There's a justice seeker out there. His name is Dan Kaplis, and he gets justice for those who aren't oppressed by some system or by some historically something or other. Dan Kaplis goes to court and gets justice for those people who are victims, victims of another person or company's negligence or recklessness that has devastated their lives. The justice Dan achieves is to not be able to put someone back in the position they were before, because you can't do that, right? The civil justice system is not set up. The criminal justice system isn't set up for that either. It can only try to provide you what it can by means of largely money to try to take some of the sting off of what has happened to you when it's not your fault, to try to put you in a position to try to make the rest of life just that much easier in light of what was taken away from you from someone else being at fault. It doesn't matter if it's a trucking company. My God, Dan and Bob are crushed the trucking company, some trucking company, for the biggest outcome in the history of the state of Colorado. It's not just a trucking company. It could be a drunk driver. It could be a reckless driver, a negligent driver. My goodness, there was, I remember one case where there was an escalator failure, I think at Coors Field. Who did those people call to say, help me, my life has been changed by, can you imagine tumbling down that escalator because it failed? They called Dan Kaplis. Dan Kaplis can't give you back what was taken from you, but he can give you the next, the only best thing. And that is to try to provide you with the means to make your life just that much more comfortable when someone else has taken away that quality of life that you were entitled to. Dan Kaplis doesn't give up. He won't stop until you tell him to stop. And I got to tell you, man, this guy's the Energizer Bunny. I don't know how he continues to do it. It's pissing me off, by the way, that he looks younger than I do, and he is older than I am. That is frustrating. I don't know what his skincare product line is, but I really think it's probably just a life well lived. And so when you need help, or someone you know you care about needs help, call the best guy out there for it. It's Dan Kaplis. You can call him at 303-907-5003. Same number they've had since I worked for him 15 years ago. 303-907-5003. Or you can check him out at DanKaplisLaw.com. That's Dan, C-A-P-L-I-S, Law.com. When we come back, Dwayne, everybody else on hold at 303-696-1971. And your text. It's George Brocklin on The George Show, 710-KNUS. They are tasty here on a Monday morning George Show, 710-KNUS. We're going to go right to the phone lines because that's what we do. So join them, 303-696-1971. Dwayne, you're on The George Show. What do you think?
Good morning, sir. Well, I'm not a legal scholar, but you know, aren't there about 14 federal laws and a couple constitutional ones that our esteemed vice president is violating at this point with the word equity?
I don't think so. And wait a minute. Let me say this. I don't think it's overt enough that someone could take action against it, but it sure feels like that's the road we're going to.
Doesn't it seem it's kind of like a mold or like with an aspen grove that just kind of continues to grow out? It isn't necessarily cross the line, but it certainly is rushing that direction.
I just don't see why this isn't a bigger... That's not true. I see why it's not a bigger deal with the mainstream media. But these references, these veiled references to wealth redistribution after a disaster, the only answer for the federal government should be to put people back as close as they can that's reasonable into the position, or at least on the path that they were before God intervened and upended the apple cart. That should be the answer. Not this idea that, well, hey, you may have been at this place in society and you got wrecked, but we're going to try to put you at a better place as a result. That simply can't be the answer when it comes to distributing taxpayer resources.
I agree 100%. And you know, that's where socialism comes from. Look at your elementary schools. Everybody has to bring the crayons and their little items and all the rest. And then they put it into a big pot and everybody shares. Not with my son. Oh, no, 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 no. I made sure that he understood completely that the crayons were his, not to share with anyone else. All of the items he worked for, and boy, did he work for them. Wow. So when the teacher said he has to share, he said, you can call my uncle. Because he said, and he's my Uncle Dad, but not in a Southern way.
Yeah, yeah.
These are mine, and I worked for him. Okay?
Dwayne.
And we had problems at the school.
Dwayne, I think that's an extreme, and I don't mean this in a negative way, but that's an extreme lesson to teach in the school setting where I agree with you. We start off by trying to say, how do we socialize kids with one another? And we do that through sharing. That doesn't offend me. Until we get to the grades, if you're not going to ever have a discriminator between performance, like I get what you're saying about the property stuff, and there's some value to that. But if it's going to end up being with grades where we stop giving out grades, and you've seen the trend with that too, we're no longer going to have summa cum laude. We're no longer going to have magna cum laude. We're just going to have grades that are given out because we don't want to hurt anyone's feelings. Then, brother, you and I are on the same page.
True, but... I hate to say this, George, because I respect you and I respect Billy, but you've got to take the visor off, sir.
Which visor? What's the visor?
Well, the one off your eyes that's not sitting there picking this up. Again, these things are, it's all mission creep. This is all this is becoming is just one small step at a time. All right. What would have offended
us 6 months
ago?
I don't know what it was like in grade school for you, but when I went to grade school, we had bring all the supplies and you shared some stuff and you also had your own stuff in your desk.
No, no. See, I was back when they had the, you know, stone tablets and the plinth. So
you had to bring your own stone. Was that it?
Bring my own stone. Yes. But no, I mean, you were responsible. And I mean, you know, my dad was stationed in D.C. during a time period. And everything, and the teachers were extremely, why do you not have carbon paper? My folks couldn't buy
carbon
any
paper.
Time.
My God, man.
Okay. And it was like, well, we need that. And with you today, you'll go outside and sit in the hallway.
Holy smokes, because you couldn't get carbon paper?
Exactly. So, I'm a few years older than you.
Of course, if you're talking carbon paper, Dwayne, I mean, you could have legitimately had an excuse, the dinosaur ate my homework. I mean, that's how long ago that was.
To a point, yes. But, you know, I was blessed to be able to go to higher schools because of the military child situation. And, you know, I graduated out of the Air Force Academy High School, which is a much higher blend high school than the average. But at those points, even though I wasn't tail end Charlie, there were some people far more intelligent than I was. But I stayed right in the middle of the pack. And we go on from there. My statement is that We are watching over 6 months, and if you look at history, and I'm a big history buff like Peter was, what we said, this will never happen. Just creep up and wait 6 months, because then it will. What she said over the weekend with her, everybody gets equality, people of color will get these things first, and all these, that's discrimination.
It is. I don't know that she actually came out and said those words, but you and I know that's exactly what she means, and nobody pushes back on it. But
right,
it's this
again. It's creep. What she said 6 months from now, somebody will say, "Well, that's only right."
I think someone needs to push the Biden administration and that awful White House press secretary. And I'm sure she's a lovely human being, but she cannot do the job. KJP, people need to push her and ask, "How does this play out? How does the vice president's version and use of the term equity show up when it comes to federal relief funds? Are you going to have someone sit there and decide that, well, this person is this color, this person is that color, and because they came from this socioeconomic group, we're going to give them more, a higher percentage? What are they doing?
Well, thank God for Peter Ducey. She's going to need a tablet. She can't handle a three-ring binder the way he's got her bouncing around. I mean, he's Muhammad Ali, and she's Butterbean. He is a class above her as far as, you know, sparring with and getting news out of.
Even if it appears that way, Dwayne, I'm not convinced. I mean, Peter could be average, but she's so bad at what she does, she makes him look good. Like, we made the Raiders look like a real NFL team yesterday, and they're garbage. And we made them look good. I wonder if that isn't the same thing, is that Peter's a good reporter, but she makes him look superior because he asks her pretty predictable questions and she can't make eye contact. She's constantly buried in the notebook on the podium looking. I think she's just looking at the word help me or breathe or count to 10 or something, but she can't do the job. But I need her to be asked, please describe what the vice president means as equity in terms of the distribution of these federal relief funds. Because that cannot be what America stands for.
The biggest part of it is that with Peter Ducey being the only one, it's in the kingdom of the blind, the one-eyed man is king. Well, Peter Ducey right now with what's her name, he's king, and he's beating her every day. But he's doing it with flourish, and he's making sure things work. The bottom line is, if you look back over 3 years and you see the creep from the Biden administration for what's allowed, what isn't allowed, we're now becoming a Chinese social society by saying, you get this because you're the right person. You're not going to get helped as easily because of this. And if you sit there and say, no, that's not happening, look at it another page in. You'll see that people are being separated, and it is now becoming a thing of more and more. Certain minorities are going to get more before other people will get.
I wonder if we're going to start to see, Dwayne, the transformation of equality under the law to equity under the law. Like, that term is now probably going to encapsulate all of the things that are going on with the Denver DA's office right now. You know, the decisions they make are about equity, not about equality under the law, not about everybody's held accountable at the same level. We just hold some people more accountable than others.
No cash bail, no problems if you've done certain crimes. The gentleman who sat there and killed somebody in a hit and run, the guy 3 years ago who killed a truck driver, set him on fire and ran off, and then the Denver Sheriff's Department released him, and he ran back to Mexico and was never charged.
Yep.
Don't tell me it's not happening. It's there. It's on the second page of everything. And one last question, George, because I respect you. What about our lesbian black basketball player out there in Russia?
What about her?
Anybody know about what's going on? Has she come home? Does anybody care anymore, or did the spark not work well enough for people that it's now on to the next item of equity?
No, I think we're going to see a resurgence of her story after November. And I think that's honestly, I think right now, if you're the Biden administration, you do not want that distraction. That would not help you try to win over unaffiliated voters nationwide. One other thing, Dwayne, and you seem like an educated guy to me, so let me ask, do you remember the Kurt Vonnegut short story from about the early 60s called Harrison Bergeron?
Yes.
Okay. This feels to me like Harrison Bergeron 61 years later, and I think it was a 1961 story. This, and for folks that haven't read the story, it's an easy read. Go out there and get it. I'm sure there's an Audible version of this thing somewhere. But the gist of Harrison Bergeron was that it was a society that was based on straight equality of everything. And it took equality to an extreme where if you are faster than everybody else, they put special weights on your legs to keep. If you could see better than other people, you had to wear special glasses so your eyes were worsened so you saw like everybody else. There was no beauty. There was no excellence. There was only equality. Do you remember that story, Dwayne?
I do, and we're going through it now. Again, the outcome of all of this is to be, we all live in a little itty-bitty living space, a tiny home. We're going to be eating bugs because Tom Cruise's ex-wife there, the one that's married to Keith Urban, I just lost her mind.
Nicole Kidman.
Thank you. She sat there eating bugs for Vogue magazine or something, and it was, this is what we're going to. It's not going to be, oh, I'd like to have a steak this month. It's going to be, no, no, you have the gruel that you're fed because everybody eats the gruel. We are going down the path of France in the 1970s, and the Bolshevik Revolution back through the 1920s and everything that went on and all the rest.
And
we are there at the crossroads.
I think we're getting there. What's interesting, Duane, to me is that this is sort of a different – it's like Harrison Bergeron 2.0, right? Because in the Harrison Bergeron story, it's government holding people back to make everybody equal. Now it feels like – we're doing that less overtly. And instead, we've taken up a ton of your tax money, Duane, a ton of my tax money, and we're going to redistribute it in a way that doesn't necessarily hold back an individual. It just props up others to try to get them to that same outcome. Now, at the same time, I get it. Through admissions and loans and all this other stuff, they're doing the other thing. But it feels like this is a modern version of the socialism of the Harrison Berger. I mean, it's so insidious, I'm not sure what to do. Like, what do we do about it? How do you address this?
The problem is that if you study Democrats from the 1966, after Kennedy was killed, they become far more aggressive, far more political, and they become groupthink. If somebody says, we hate X, everybody in the Democratic Party hates X. When the Republicans say, we hate X, somebody are like, well, X has good qualities to it, or I'll never support a man who supports this. We are scattered as a party. Plus, as Republicans, we tend to be far more caring about individuals. And what wife or husband hasn't said, well, gee, hon, if it's just $3 more to help somebody. The homeless problem that's going on in Colorado is horrific. As you had in this morning in Billy's Choosing the News, the poor lady who's gotten the house repaired,
oh my gosh,
can't get back inside, and other things. If it's just $3, we can do this. We, as a culture and as a Republicans, need to stand up and say, I'm sorry, my nose is bloodied and yours isn't. Here's equality. Your nose is going to be bloodied. And we need to sit there and say, at this point, I've had enough. If Republican and conservative people don't sit there and say, I've had enough and return the favor, we are lost. I'm not saying that there has to be a civil war. I'm not saying that there has to be actual fighting.
No, we don't want
but
that.
We need to have the line where we say, you know what? I don't buy what you're selling. I don't care what you're telling me. I know that it's not raining and my leg is warm and there's no dog in the room.
It feels like, Duane, by the way, thank you for the great phone call. It feels like at the risk of being canceled, we just need to stand up everywhere and push back on this notion of equity. If they want to change the E in DEI to equality, you got my attention. But this idea of the same outcome, I mean, it seems like it's anathema to America. It has never been the goal of the founders. It is not the natural byproduct of freedom and liberty. We are a society and an economy based on competition. And competition necessarily means there are winners and losers of varying degrees across the spectrum. Not everybody can be a winner, but everybody could be a loser. And that's the direction we seem to be headed. Listen, we're going to cut away for a break. When we come back, we're going to be joined by the super smarties at our great friends at Alpine Planning. And then we're going to get back to your phone calls. Kim, everybody else on hold, I promise to take you if you stay on the line. 303-696-1971. And we'll also get through some of these texts. George Brockler on the George Show, 710 KNUS. George Brockler back with you here on 710 KNUS. It is that magical time of the show. We do it every day. You get a chance to be made smarter about all things financial through our friends at Alpine Planning to help us have that conversation. It's the rock star. It's Amy Duncan.
Well, good morning, fellow rock star.
I'm no rock star, but I'm glad you said it.
Oh, man. Well, George, good Monday to you.
Good morning.
All right. Day one of the fourth quarter financially. So taking a look at Wall Street to start the day, we're looking good so far, actually. Let's hope that this trend continues. Right now, we got the S&P positive by about 40. The Dow's up about 330. NASDAQ also up about 77. This is coming off the close, of course, of last week, the close out of the third quarter, and really the sell-off and the pessimism intensified to a pretty high degree last week. As of now, third quarter was not kind to us, but as of now, the Dow is down 22% year-to-date, the S&P off 24.8%, NASDAQ off 32%. So fourth quarter rally right now is what we all would like to see. Brian and Gabe and I have had a lot of candid conversations with clients about this, and I wouldn't set expectations for anyone that we're going to finish the year positive. But based on some of our weekend reading and a couple of webinars from last week, I just want to bring up a couple of things that I think investors need to keep in mind. And that's number one, peak inflation does appear to be behind us. So although the decline may not be as quick or as steady as many of us would have hoped for, the downward trajectory for the CPI is promising. The other thing here, George,
promising in what way?
Yeah.
Forgive me. I'm sorry to interrupt. Promising in what way?
Just the fact that we're on the right track, right?
Okay.
So in other words, is all of this slicing and dicing, as I'm starting to say, that the Federal Reserve is doing going to work? And that's the other point, which is in many ways, the U.S. economy is going through its typical business cycle, which we've experienced many times in the past. But when you're in the thick of the volatility and when you're dealing with 40-year inflation numbers, and when you're dealing with, you know, interest rate changes that haven't occurred since the 80s, it ain't comfortable, period.
No,
the roller coaster ride has gotten nauseating. But I guess without getting too long-winded, George, I'll get back on track and just say, you know, again, third quarter was not kind. There's still plenty of risks out there, but there are promising factors, and that's what Gabe and Brian and I are trying to make sure that people don't overlook. Because when you overlook those things and some of the real economic fundamentals, you make bad decisions. I think the risk of a pure global slowdown is not only real, but it is on. So that's a factor to be considered.
Wow.
But again, it doesn't mean you don't need to stay invested. So I'll close with that today.
When you say you'll close with that, it sounds like you're saying, please don't ask me any more questions.
No, I just didn't want to.
No.
I did have one other stat.
Yeah,
tell
me.
Believe it or not. But it's just. Anyway, and as someone that's pretty political, to be honest, I really am. I think it's interesting. 2023 is the third year of the presidential cycle, and typically that's been a very good one for markets. So there is always that next year.
Oh,
wink.
So a rebound in some kind of a way, we hope.
I'm not going to say anyone's got it rigged, but.
Well, you know what? I need to hear things like this.
Facts,
to
right?
help me. No,
but
these
again,
are...
focus on the real data, not the sound bites. That's always kind of been a calling card for Brian and Gabe.
That's so smart to look down the road like that. I'm not a genius either, but I will say this. There is an OPEC meeting coming up on Wednesday where they are projected to draw down 1 million barrels a day in production to try to drive the price of oil back up after we've seen it drop about 25% over the last few months. That cannot be good for what we're talking about. And you know, you don't need to answer that right now.
I am just a fan of drilling. I'll put it that way. I am a fan of oil. I am a fan of domestic production. I am a fan of, and speaking of oil, you know, it's really counterintuitive to a lot of investors. Even gold is actually off 6.5% this year.
Oh, Amy. Listen,
right?
I want you back this week so we can keep having this conversation. But until then, listen, Alpine Planning Group is a comprehensive.
I'm out.
Alpine Planning Group is a comprehensive financial planning firm committed to improving your long-term financial success in drilling. Investing is a matter of trust, and they are prepared to earn yours. Call them today, 303-843-0918, 303-843-0918. Thanks, Amy.
Hey, thanks, George. Sorry.
Securities and investment advisory services offered through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA SIPC and registered investment advisor. Alpine Planning Group and Woodbury Financial Services, Inc. are not affiliated entities. 14 West Dry Creek Circle, Littleton, Colorado, 80120.
Just enough to tell you, Kim, everybody else on hold. I'll get back to you in a moment. George Brockler, George Show, 710 KNUS.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
with in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.